Hey, this is Tom Waddle. Thanks for listening to the Waddle and Sylvie podcast brought to you by Miller Lite, the presenting sponsor of the 2020 ESPN 1000 Virtual Fantasy Football Championship. Find out how to be a part of it at ESPNFFC.com.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Speedwagon.
I'm looking at Tyler. He has no idea. He's not going to know. Yeah, I didn't know. I thought maybe it was labeled. You know, REO Speedwagon.
No, it's just labeled music.
And is this REO Speedwagon?
Yeah. You can watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv, or download the Twitch app and follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. That's twitch.tv /ESPN.
He looked like he had seen a ghost when I asked him.
1000 Chicago. It's all brought to you by Anthony's and Joliet. Head into Anthony's and get that ESPN Fantasy Football Championship code. And, of course, cold, refreshing Miller Lite. So delicious. Tonight's Cubs game, they start their series against the Brewers. A huge series, really, in this restarted season where you're 6.5 games up and you could do a whole lot of damage.
You agree with what I said yesterday, didn't you?
That the Cubs are in the playoffs?
Yeah.
Yeah, but this solidified. Like, if you also said that the Cubs are in the playoffs, but also they ain't played anybody.
That is true. Both can be.
I think
true
the
statement.
Brewers are going to be their biggest threat in the Central.
I agree, because okay. Lord knows what the Cardinals are even going to look like.
So
Reds are horrible underachievers, and the Pirates are the Pirates.
So Chris Bryant was scratched yesterday after injuring his finger/wrist, and right now he is not in tonight's lineup, as well as the Cubs lineup with Happ at leadoff and center, Rizzo at first, Baez at short, Schwarber in left, Contreras catching, Hayward in right, Bodie at third, Kipnis will be the DH, Nico Horner will be at second base, and Tyler Chatwood was scheduled to pitch tonight, but he has been scratched with mid-back tightness.
Okay.
So Alec Mills will be starting tonight, and tomorrow is a TBD. Tomorrow might be a bullpen day as they move up Alec Mills for tonight's start.
Two thoughts. With Chris Bryant, look, Chris Bryant, again, I think is their best overall hitter on this team. The stats would not tell you that. It would tell you a different story in calendar year 2020. I think this is a good decision by David Ross. Look, at this point, he's not carrying the team.
Mm-hmm.
I believe he's batting less than 200, right? Or he's right at 200.
Yeah.
Let him get healthy. Let some of the other guys that are stroking continue to stroke. Or
yes.
Rake, or whatever you want to call it.
Let the guys stroke.
Last night was just another brilliant start from Yu Darvish, right? I mean, I think he went 6 innings with no hits, and then Smoke hit one out to right field to break up the no-hitter.
But that was after that long delay, right? Or not the long delay, a long offensive output.
That is correct. I'm just saying to you that I think there are two guys in this Cubs starting rotation that I personally believe benefit from not having a ton of people out there. Now, Tyler Chatwood gave up, what, 8 earned runs last time out, right? And they got housed by the Royals. But prior to that, Tyler Chatwood gave you 2 quality starts.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, and I'm not diminishing their performances. I'm just telling you, I think that guys like that, I think Tyler Chatwood probably benefits from not having anybody in the stands. Like,
okay.
Certain people thrive on the adrenaline that comes from a packed house. Other guys probably get a bit distracted. This is just me playing amateur psychologist.
Yeah.
I think a guy like Darvish, maybe less Darvish than Chatwood, because Darvish was very, very good at the end of last year and there were plenty of people in the stands. But I think when you have guys that have struggled at times with different things and can look to be like... Didn't you think there were times last year and the year before that Chatwood was thrown off his game?
I mean,
can I get an amen for that
amen.
From both
amen.
Of you?
Amen.
Like, Chatwood just looked uncomfortable at times.
Amen.
I think that when there's nobody out there and you're just pitching, and especially when you come into a game and you're starting to throw strikes and it feels good to you, I think there are certain guys that benefit from the lack of external stimuli. And I think both of those guys fall, like, I think John Lester could pitch in front of 500,000 and not be shook by anything.
Now, I will say this.
I think Kyle Hendricks is another guy. You could throw him into the most hostile environment. You could turn live animals loose in the
outfield. I don't
think
he smiled when they won the World Series.
I don't think he'll be fazed.
Yeah.
I think there are guys, and I don't think this is unique to the Cubs. I think there are guys across Major League Baseball, the NFL. You'll see some guys maybe in the NFL that won't be as focused as normal.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see other guys. Kirk Cousins has already said he thinks it'll be a nice change of pace to not have anybody in the stands.
Now, I agree.
All I'm saying to you is I don't think it's a reach to suggest to you that there are some guys that I think will benefit from the lack of fans in the stands. And there mm-hmm. are other guys that probably would.
Yeah.
Would thrive on the adrenaline rush that exists from playing in front of tens of thousands of people. That's all I'm saying.
So Darvish has had four starts this season, right? Four starts. He has five earned runs.
He's been fantastic.
An ERA of 1.88. So Chris, this is from Chris Canth.
Four starts or five starts?
Four starts.
Four starts.
Yeah, four starts. Yeah. So this is from Chris Canth.
Oh, is that? Wait a second, that's my computer.
Hold on. What, do you got an ad? Porn?
This is from Nationwide. I don't think Nationwide sends out porn, do they? Let's listen to it.
No, they're not.
It's a Nationwide. They're new pricing on one of their 401k plans.
And now what? Now what are you doing?
I'm trying to give them credit.
Who are we giving credit to?
You know that I'm technically challenged over here, and didn't I ask you for help to even get on?
Yeah, you couldn't connect to the internet, and I had to find it and hit connect.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, now hold on, wait. I'm going to see if my speakers are now off.
How are you doing, Tyler?
My speakers are now off. I'm muted.
So,
did you really ask me if that was porn?
You don't know what pops up on computers these
days.
Man,
I don't know.
Links people
while
are
I'm on the ESPN website looking at the splits from you, Darvish.
Hey, man, people get hacked all the time.
Yeah, sure they do. So Christopher Kamka put this out yesterday after Darvish's great outing last night. Yu Darvish, in his last 18 starts, so 14 of which were in front of fans, I mind you. 14, so because he's at 18 starts, last 18 starts, take away four with no fans, 14 with starts, 2.72 ERA, that's in 112.1 innings, and a third innings pitched.
Pitched.
I did say pitched. He's allowed 80 hits. He's walked 11 guys.
Yep.
Struck out 151 guys. And had a .810 whip.
That's why I said that Yu Darvish may be less prone to this than Chatwood as I was presenting this
case. I think Yu Darvish might have just found it finally.
He could have.
I think he finally just...
But Yu Darvish, earlier in his Cubs career, looked like a guy that got shook quickly,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. And I think that, I don't know what he's done or the Cubs have done to fix him, but aside from that first start against the Brewers at the beginning of the season, look at the last 18 starts, like I mentioned.
Absolutely. I think 11 walks. Like I said, I don't want to diminish anything, and maybe he's not as good of an example, but I do believe there are guys. Like, there are going to be guys in Major League Baseball that I think are affected positively and negatively by the lack of stimulus out there. Stimuli. And I think that Chatwood may be one of those guys. Maybe the last start he made against the Royals where he got tagged, maybe his back was bothering then. I don't know. I just know that when you look at guys that you think are maybe affected by crowd noise or crowds, big crowds, there are people that I think are you know,
susceptible. They get stage fright?
I don't know if it's stage fright, but, you know,
Do you get stage fright?
No, I enjoyed the crowds.
No, I'm saying just in general. Do you have a problem public speaking? Do you get
stage
fright?
I didn't used to. I never used to. The older I've gotten, I've been more prone to, you know, feeling anxious about stuff.
What about at the
urinal? I never used to. No,
like
never,
next to a dude.
I can pee and drop a deuce at a gas station.
Okay, I didn't ask about that.
I'm just saying, like, I got no problem when it comes to
you're at a trough, you're at Wrigley, you're at the trough.
I don't go to the trough because I don't want anyone else's urine splashing on me.
That's fair. That's very fair.
I don't want my own urine splashing on me. I'm not a trough
guy.
Also
very fair.
But, like, I don't have a problem, actually. If I got to go to the bathroom, I'm going to the bathroom. That's not an issue for me.
Okay. So just stage fright when you're talking to people.
Well, I mean, like I said, I've probably spoken to 300-plus groups in 30 years here in town, or however long I've been here. I've been here since 89. That's 30 years, right? 31?
Yes. Yes.
Going on 31.
It's older than Tyler.
The older, like, I got to go into the MRI machine on next Thursday.
And that gives you the willies.
Like, I'm having panic attacks now, and it's Friday. I've got 6 days prior to having to get into that
Just
thing.
Imagine the technician
is naked. It's an open MRI.
Yeah.
And, like, I used to go into the MRI machine probably once a week 25 years ago. And now, like, I can't, and they're, like, then it was a tube. It was like the tube of death. It was like getting in a coffin.
It's loud,
and them
too,
closing.
Isn't it?
I don't care about the sound. It's the claustrophobia that I suffer from. So I'm just, my point, the moral of my story is the older I get, the more prone I am to anxious moments, which I don't know why it is. So back in the day when I was 23, 24, 25, I actually loved playing in front of bigger audiences.
Okay.
Maybe today I wouldn't feel that way.
More Cubs news as we're here with Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. Adam Abdallah in for Sylvie, along with Waddle. Tomorrow's Cubs game was supposed to be a Saturday night 7:15 start. It has now been moved up to 2:20 p.m. Central due to incoming weather in Chicago. There's supposed to be a bunch of storms rolling through. I'm supposed to golf tomorrow.
Really?
Another 36, bro. And this moved the Cubs game up. So now they have a starter that's TBD for tomorrow, and the game has moved up from 7:15 to 2:20.
Yeah, I wouldn't be bothered by that.
No, it's fine.
They're all set.
You think
they should start working on their playoff rotation.
The playoff rotation.
Yeah.
Just gearing it up now. Is that actually why Chatwood isn't playing?
Maybe so. I don't know. Alec Mills has basically been unhittable as well, hasn't he? What are Alec Mills' splits? Alec Mills. It's Alec Mills. I mean, the whole rotation has been unhittable. They've been incredible. How many starts has Alec Mills had?
In the year 2020.
He's had three starts?
He has had two starts.
Two starts.
He's pitched 13 innings. He's allowed...
Two earned runs.
His ERA is... Where is it on here?
He's got a
1.38 ERA.
Yeah. I mean, like, he's been... Their whole rotation has been...
0.769.
Whip. Spectacular, their rotation has been.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's why you're saying print the ticket. Well, you can't print the tickets, but print the tickets now.
It's math. Do the math. Like, it's not just that they have to win the division. It's like the top two teams in each division get to the postseason... And the NL Central behind the Cubs is just a dumpster fire. Like, they could stumble and still get in as the second team or one of the other two wild card squads.
George in Skokie wants to talk Cubs. George, you're on ESPN 1000. How's it going?
Good. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So regarding last night's Cubs national broadcast, one thing that John Smoltz said that was great was that Rizzo only swung and missed at 6% of pitches on the inside part of the zone last year. And to use John's words, he said that was incredible. And John's great. He is just a wealth of baseball information.
Very smart baseball guy, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. And it was great to hear him and Joe Buck on the call last night. And then also... Ken Rosenthal, he was mentioning that, in the later years of Joe Maddon's career here, the structure ended. Well, guess what, Ross? He wasn't here in later years, as we continually discuss. But also, when they interviewed Ross, he said that he looks to, like, Bobby Cox and Joe Maddon most in creating his managing style. And I thought that Joe Maddon aspect was interesting because with all the talk about how, Maddon didn't hold them accountable enough, and Ross is kind of the opposite. So I just wanted to get your opinions on why, he might pick Joe Maddon and not, say, Terry Francona, who, he won a couple World Series with, I believe.
Yeah, it's an interesting question, George. I don't know the exact answer. I think that Rossi has been, he's been very complimentary of Joe Maddon.
Oh, absolutely.
I think every now and again there are situations where a new voice is necessary, and I think we've felt that way now for a couple of years with Joe Maddon. Doesn't diminish what he was able to accomplish as the Cubs manager in this town. But, there comes a point in time, sometimes sooner rather than later, where change is necessary for everyone to succeed. I can't sit here and tell you that the Cubs are 13-3 in large part because Joe Maddon's not on the top step. I just can't.
No.
I think this team has responded to David Ross very well. I do give him a lot of credit. But are they 13-3? Would they be Would they be 8-8 with Joe Maddon? I don't think so.
No, would they be keep Maddon out of it, keep David Ross in it. Would they be 13-3 if this season started in April or March like it was supposed to?
Yeah.
Would they have come out with the sense of urgency that they're playing with right now if there didn't need to be a sense of urgency?
I give David Ross a lot of credit for the start, but I also give these players a ton of credit because from day one, you have seen they've been committed to the cause and they've been disciplined. And we've had this conversation a bunch, mm-hmm. going back to when the first pitch of the restarted spring training began, that this Cubs team was dialed in. They were all going to take this disciplined approach to things. They didn't have a single positive test. Is part of that good fortune? Yes. But it's also part of it is the discipline that these players individually have shown. So I give these players credit first, but certainly David Ross's his presence obviously has had a positive impact on all of them.
The Bulls made a huge move today for the future of the franchise in relieving Jim Boylan of his duties. One former Bull weighs in on the move. We'll hear from him next.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays 2-6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Yeah.
A new era in Chicago sports radio begins on Monday. Monday, 5 a.m., the new morning show, Keyshawn Johnson, Jay Williams, and Zubin Mehendi begins on ESPN 1000 and ESPN Chicago, the ESPN Chicago app. And at 7 a.m., the first local sports morning show on ESPN's airwaves will take place.
Ever.
David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood, 7 a.m. You know, Chris Bleck and I were talking about this yesterday. What's going to be great is Sunday after a Bears game, you're like, Monday morning, what am I going to... Oh, they're on at 7? It's going to be great. The Bears play on a Thursday. Guess what? Friday. Oh, the Blackhawks, they have two games this weekend. Are they going to make it to a game 5? Are they going to win one? Guess what?
It's good that you can turn on ESPN 1000 and you'll hear...
7 a.m.
local programming.
It's going to be great. That's followed by Carmen and Yurko from 10 to noon. The Mike Greenberg. Mike Greenberg is back on radio. I love Greeny on the radio. The times he's come in and sat in with you and Waddle, you and Sylvie, you're Waddle. The times he's come in and sat in with you and Sylvie has been great. He's like, radio is a more free-flowing idea. When he does TV, when he does get up,
he's a facilitator.
He's got these producers yelling at him,
but he's also got a lot of thoughts and a lot of opinions, which I think is the radio show from 12 to 2 will be where his opinions probably take more of a focus than they do earlier in the day on his television show. Get
absolutely, off. And then Waddle and Sylvie not moving, not going anywhere.
Not going anywhere.
2-6, and then Chris Bleck and I will have the baseball show at 6 o'clock, and then Bleck and Abdallah start at 7 o'clock.
You're all grown up.
We're all grown up. You were talking to me in the break how you're 20 years younger than me.
You are.
I am.
How old are you?
35. 35.
Okay. Well, yes. 18 years younger than.
Okay. Still, we'll round up.
Yeah.
20 years younger. So Jay Williams, who you can hear at 5 a.m. starting on Monday morning, former Bull, weighed in earlier on the Bulls relieving Jim Boylan of his coaching duties.
It's about damn time. It really is. And look, 2 years ago, the players reported to the NBAPA about extreme tactics that were being used mm-hmm. by Jim Boylan at practice, suicides, pretty much saying, hey, you're not Greg Popovich, man. This is not the Spurs. You don't have the background to be doing these things. I've talked about this multiple times throughout the course of the years with this team. Zach LaVine has a chance to be a superstar. Kobe White and him should be playing together. I know they battled with some injuries. Wendell Carter was hurt. Some other things have happened with this team. But Jim Boylan was not the answer for the Bulls to get to where they want to go. This is a complete rehaul, and I'm glad that the organization has put their feet in the ground to make the call on firing Jim Boylan. I'm never one to call for a firing, but this was the right move. And I'm going to tell you, out of all the candidates that I heard, Mark Jackson is the answer. I know at Golden State, he had some issues with ownership, but look what he did from a player developmental standpoint with the likes of Stephen Curry and Klay Thompson. He was the first person to help them move in that direction. Now, Steve Kerr took it to a different level, but I don't care what anybody says. Mark Jackson was a guy to help build that infrastructure. It will be the same with the Chicago Bulls. They deserve a guy like Mark Jackson who can talk to Zach LaVine. I don't need to see Zach LaVine waving off Jim Boylan anymore because he doesn't want to pay attention to him. He would not do that with Mark Jackson. It's the same with Coby White, Lauri Markkanen. The young talent is there. We just need the right coach in place to help that team ascend.
That was Jay Williams earlier today talking about the
Mark
Bulls
Jackson
and Mark Jackson. And yeah,
I don't know where they're going to go for their coach, their next coach, but
I don't want Mark Jackson as the next Bulls coach. And I think he's a great motivator. I think he's a great leader. I think he can motivate people to play. I don't think he's a great X's and O's.
You want a teacher.
I want a teacher. I want a guy who can develop young talent. And he said, yes, he did develop Clay and Steph, but ultimately, Steve Kerr's the guy that got them to where they wanted to be. I don't want a guy that's going to get us from, that's just a next step
he's
coach.
He's an A to B guy.
I want that A to the end. I want the A to championship guy.
A to C.
A to C, yes. A to C. I didn't know what the next, if A to C
well,
is.
Well, I mean, we
end.
Always talk about in sports A to B and then B to C is the guy that takes you to the promised land.
I want A to C. Land. I want that guy. That can do it all. I don't want the next coach that's like, okay, well, we've developed these guys now. It's time for the next guy.
Well, but if you're looking for that, then you're looking for someone that possibly has an NBA title on his resume.
I want like someone with NBA experience.
Well, Mark Jackson has NBA experience, and actually, I mean, I'm sure he's coached in the postseason. Wasn't Mark Jackson the coach of the Pacers at one point as well?
Yes, I believe so.
I think so.
I want someone who has had success on that level. You know what I mean?
Well, there aren't many guys that have taken teams from A to C and that are available.
I understand that.
Whether it's because they haven't been given the opportunity yet.
But there are guys that have taken teams from A to B that haven't failed to get to C. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
They haven't had these players. Like what did Steve Kerr bring that he had the exact same players and took them to win a championship?
Well, at that point, I mean, you know, Klay Thompson and Steph Curry were better players. Just the natural evolution of them as basketball players, I think, was... Mm-hmm. Was evident, right? Look, I don't know who the right guy for this job is. I'll trust those who follow this closely. I know what my qualifications need to be. Somebody that can develop young talent.
Yeah.
Somebody who's got good relationships and is well thought of around the league.
Mm-hmm.
A young guy is not going to have those skins on the wall they would not have had that opportunity.
I like Kenny Atkinson. I think he did a good job.
He did a nice job developing. Yes, he
developed all that young talent in Brooklyn, and then when Kyrie and Durant got there, they were like, "We don't want to work with him," and they fired him.
Right.
And I think he got a raw deal there. I think that would be good. I look, Fizdale's out there. He's working for ESPN right now. And I know he was on First Take earlier today, and they asked him if he would be interested in the Bulls job, and Stephen A. stepped up and answered for him.
Hell no. That is not a job you want. Stay away from the job, okay? Zach LaVine can ball. Markkanen can ball. But they don't have a lot of talent. The organization, too many question marks. The Last Dance with Michael Jordan didn't help the organization's reputation. Gar Forman and those boys are going, nobody needs to touch that job right now. Sorry. That's a purgatory. That's a cesspool. They need to clean it up. And since I've known David Fizdale for years, I'm going to speak up for him. Hell no. Don't go nowhere near that job. You're better
David,
off being
Stephen
an assistant
a new agent.
Or getting a job somewhere else than taking the Chicago Bulls job. Not to mention the fact nobody wants to be there from November to March because it's too damn cold. And you spent years in South Beach. You know what I'm
pretty
saying.
Summer,
stay
too.
The hell away from that job. Very simple.
Listen, I love Stephen A. I don't agree with his assessment. I think this is a better job than it used to be.
I agree with you there. Yes.
Now, I just checked on Mark Jackson. He never coached in the
Pistons. So we'll take that off his resume.
Yeah, he was the head coach of the Golden State Warriors from 2011 through the 2013-14 season.
Mm-hmm.
He took the 2012-13 and 2013-14 Golden State Warriors into the postseason where mm-hmm. he lost in the conference semifinals the first time he got there and lost in the first round the second time he got there. I didn't realize his coaching career only lasted three seasons. Did you know that? I thought it was longer than that.
No, because he was a decent motivator. He was a decent developer. But ultimately, they didn't think he could get the job done. And the guys weren't listening to him. So they hired Steve Kerr. And yes, Steve Kerr had a great roster. But you have to work with that roster and turn them into something. And not just a bunch of guys that can play basketball well.
Right.
You have to turn them into a cohesive team. And that's something that that they did well. That Steve Kerr did very well. And I think that, you know, Arturis Karnišević met the media today, and he talked about why make the move now and what he's looking for in the next head coach.
Officially, the last day of regular season is today, so I thought the timing was right now. Going into, you know, the lottery and the draft process, and, you know, it's an official off season for us. So we thought that it was good timing, and in terms of what we're going to be looking for, you know, we're going to continue focusing on player development and emphasis on player development. Someone who puts, you know, the relationship with players first and is a good communicator. So there are a lot of factors going on in, you know, in terms of criteria that we're looking at a coach. But again, those are the main ones, and we will start the search immediately.
And I think that it's going to be a long process. They're going to do their due diligence, just like they did in deciding whether or not they should move on from Jim Boylan. And I think that they're going to take their time and interview everybody and interview people that are still in the bubble.
But they were certainly more patient than I wanted them to be initially.
Well, I mean, look, you got the results that Bulls fans, you and Bulls fans wanted.
That's correct.
That moving this franchise forward involved moving on from Jim Boylan.
If you wanted to excite the fan base, I think you came up short prior to today.
Yes.
Because you changed the decision makers in the front office, but you left the coach in place. This is truly a fresh start, mm-hmm. which I think the fan base needed a fresh start
as
well. I
think the players wanted it too. If you listen to the players, we've heard a couple of them talking in while they're playing games, video games on Twitch. We've heard it from players, from
Daniel
sources
Gafford,
and players. Yeah, exactly.
The rookie had some less than flattering things to say about his coach.
If you read the tea leaves, everybody wanted him out and to move on and to get a new coach. And now if you also read the tea leaves, it said that the franchise was going to keep him because of the financial situation that most franchises are in right now across sports. And Karnišević got what he wanted. He was given full autonomy like we were told he was. And him and Mark Eversley made the decision to move on.
Right.
So that's what they did. Mark Giangreco is in the studio. The people on Twitch can see him, kind of. We might move move the camera around so you guys can see him. No one wants to see me. You guys want to see Giangreco and Waddle. No one wants to see this. They're going to, no. So we will talk to Mark Giangreco. I'm sure he's fired up about the Blackhawks. There you go. Now we can't. Well, now we're only seeing me. Now we're only seeing me. There you go. Yeah. Nope. Never mind. Now we can only see you. That's perfect. Now we can only see Mark Giangreco. You will hear from Mark Giangreco coming up next.
This is Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN_Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Mark Giangreco is in the building. He's always in the building, but now he's on our floor. And
I live in the building.
You live in the building.
Yeah.
He is brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse, located on LaSalle and the river. The weather is beautiful. There's no better place to be right now than on that patio.
I'm making my return trip to Chicago Cut on Monday. My daughter Angela's in town from New York. It's her 25th birthday. And that's where we're deciding to celebrate.
Your kids are getting a lot older. You know what that
My
means?
My oldest is 27. I'm getting older.
George is 27.
Yeah.
Angela's 25. Wow.
Then 22. And my youngest is going to be 17 at the end of this month.
Man. It's great, though.
Almost.
It's fabulous stuff. You see the weather forecast for the weekend? You talk about this revised schedule with the Cardinals messing everything up.
Yeah.
So now tomorrow's Cub game has been moved up to 2:20.
Mm-hmm.
And the doubleheader with the Cardinals and the Sox at the rate, that's in jeopardy because of the weather. St. Louis is never going to be able to make up this schedule, no matter how many seven-inning doubleheaders.
Are they cursed this year?
I've had this argument with Mellor quite a bit. Because he's like, you cannot hold it against them if they can only play 25 games. You've got to go with what their winning percentage is. And I accept his perspective as reasonable. I don't agree with it, though. Mm-hmm. It's reasonable. I don't think it's wacky, but I don't agree with it. There has to be, in my opinion, a minimum number of games that a Major League Baseball team has to play to become eligible for the postseason.
Of course. And I don't want it extended, though. Don't extend the season just for the Cardinals.
But I also don't think that they should be afforded any luxuries. You play when we tell you to play. They said that the players are lobbying to try to get more doubleheaders so they can have days off. You've had 2 weeks off.
Yeah.
What do you need more days off for?
Well, every time these guys recover, one more member of the organization tests positive. So what are they doing as opposed to what the Cubs are doing? I mean, it's amazing to me.
So how many games would you guys say is the minimum you have to play? Like, I took it on a percentage basis, just to give you. I said initially 15%. You got to play 85% of the 60 games, which would get you to 51. I said I'd probably, you know, because of the situation, drop it down a few more games.
I would have said 45 out of 60.
Okay. Oof, I'd say 50. You got to play 50 games.
50 is like 15% less than the maximum games that everyone was going to play.
I'm just trying to be nice, taking everything in consideration. But and it's not about we hate the Cardinals and this and that.
It's about any team.
Just it's practical in a very impractical situation here. So,
but the Cardinals are also affecting the Cubs and the White Sox. If they come here, and since the incubation period can be up to 2 weeks, and one of them isn't showing symptoms or doesn't test positive because the staffer tested positive after they were all isolated, and let's say someone starts to show symptoms in a day or two, then the White Sox are at risk because they played against them. And then if they don't show symptoms for a few more days after that, then the Cubs are at risk because of them. And, you know, there's no real way to make this 100% safe. You just have to kind of be like, all right, I guess we're going to play and hope that it goes well and hope that nothing.
There is no answer. There absolutely is no answer. And just end the season now. Give the world championship to the Cubs and we'll move on. See, at least Bulls fans, you know, have been placated for the moment. Tommy, I agree with you. As soon as Arturas Karnišovas got the job, he should have fired Boylan 2 seconds later. And everyone was so upset of all these rumors saying, hey, you know what? He might actually keep him. Where I didn't know where that came from. But now, okay, now he can move ahead full speed. There isn't one untouchable player on that roster. Turn it upside down. Supposedly he called every team in the league and said, everyone's available. So just shake it, turn it upside down, and move forward. Now, everybody's talking about Adrian Griffin, the former Bull assistant with the Raptors. Now, he's got some baggage, you know, you'd have to clean up. You know, other candidates are out there.
The Raptors are doing an extensive investigation.
Yeah, the Raptors, and you would assume the Bulls would have to do their own investigation.
But doesn't this re-energize the entire fan base?
Yeah.
Like, I thought that they were, had they not made this change, I think that you would have you would not have encouraged people, as I've said a bunch, to go back to the United Center when it's open for business.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think that their Bulls fans would be clamoring to go back to Bulls games and be excited about this quote-unquote change if the existing head coach was still in place.
Right, and I understand the pandemic and our situation here in this city and all the unrest and then getting the NBA bubble set and then deliberating whether to have a B bubble for the teams that were not included. So it took this long, you know, and I understand that. I'm willing to give them this leeway now.
Do you think they did this because there is not going to be that B bubble type of thing? And if there would have been, they would have been like, all right, we'll give you 5 games. You can coach.
Yes, I absolutely agree with that. And this wasn't a Friday dump either. At least Arturas spoke, albeit not on camera. I don't get this audio news conference thing. Can we just please...
You want the Zoom?
Do you want to be put to sleep through audio or through video? Because he says a lot, and he says it very... He's not the most energizing man in the room.
No, but I work in a visual medium when I'm not here.
So you need... Like, you have to...
It's like they almost want to hide behind a quote that you put on a graphic or audio only. You feel like you're in a confessional or something.
So
nobody sees your face.
You can't just play the sound. You just put a picture of him up on the television.
That's,
today when Allen
that's
Robinson,
real good 1970s TV right there.
So today when Allen Robinson talks on Zoom, you can use that.
Yes.
Okay.
This is a Zoom world. That's all we're going to get.
Okay.
The rest of our lives in this business.
I'm
no one's ever going to be allowed in a locker room from now until eternity. And the Bears are loving this. And the NFL. Hey, this is a great excuse to shut everybody out.
You know what happens now is starting Monday, guys can go to practice, but they immediately have to leave. You can't linger around. There's no media room anymore at Halas Hall.
Oh, I know. And we'll probably get to shoot 3 minutes of stretching, and then we get thrown out. Then you have to wait for the Zoom interviews. That's the world we live in.
It's perfect for them with regard to this quote-unquote quarterback competition.
Yeah.
Because there will be less scrutiny attached to it during the training camp.
Absolutely.
Which I'm sure they're very happy about.
Well, remember the day when you'd sit in the media room and you were told specifically not to look out the window, and if you tweeted anything you saw out the window, you were reprimanded and they yanked your credential. It's absolute insanity.
But compare that to when you guys were covering the team when I was playing.
I was in the shower with Fridge.
Right. All right.
Whoa. Yeah. No, Tommy, you know, I used to walk out on the field. Yeah. I'd walk on the field and interview you
coming
on the field.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, I've been in this.
Practice, too.
I've been in this business long enough where we'd go to training camp and Danny Zetterman would be in the golf cart going back and forth from the lunchroom
to get players
because you would just stop them as they were walking back to the dorms and say, hey, do you want to come on the radio real quick? And they'd be like, okay. And you'd come, you'd drop a player off, you'd go get another player, you'd take that player back to the room, and you would just do that for 3 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
And now you can't. Now it's all, everything has to be scheduled, everything has to be, you have to go through the team, you can't go through the guys anymore.
I think if you gave them the choice, they would want to go back to the way it was prior to the pandemic, because the pandemic has been awful on a number of fronts.
Of course.
But from a PR standpoint, I think it makes life a lot easier for all of these NFL teams because you don't have to provide all of those opportunities.
Right. And they don't need us. They have their own departments.
It's all in-house.
It's just propaganda being pumped out. Like every other news service in the world, it's just propaganda. You know what I mean?
Including you?
Both sides.
Except for the sports reports on ABC 7.
The
sports brief.
I'm trying to get it out there, Tommy.
Straight.
Well, I mean straight.
You
got to
put your own flavor on it.
Yeah, but, you know, don't be bullcrapping people.
That's right. Just
say
be honest.
It like it is.
Be honest.
Yeah.
Tell me the truth, Mark.
We really drifted there.
Not really.
Oh, no, not really. Okay. We're talking about everything that's going on. Coming up next, we'll talk about your Blackhawks.
But one last thing about the Bulls. Can we not talk about Mark Jackson anymore?
Oh, I'm done with Mark
Jackson.
Forget
it, okay? Forget it. All right.
Hand down, man down.
Now let's move on to a real sport. Hockey coming up next.
All right. It's been hockey on morning, noon, and night.
Five games today. I'm out of my mind.
I know.
It's so great.
This is the one thing about the pandemic that you are thrilled about.
Montreal Skunks, Philly, 5-0. Unbelievable. You never know.
Do the Blackhawks have a chance? Mark G and Greco. Okay, well, that blows the tease. Never mind. We'll just end the show next.
Okay, goodbye.
This hour is brought to you by Trend Micro Cloud One, the world's leading security services platform for cloud builders. Visit trendmicro.com/ESPN for more info.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Mark Gene Greco is with Waddle and I, brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse, LaSalle on the River. It's beautiful.
It's a glorious night out there.
Do not forget, set your alarms, 7 a.m., the first morning show, local morning show,
ever
on ESPN Chicago starts. David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood, Cap'n Jay Hood starts Monday morning, 7 o'clock.
It's about time. We've had to carry the network forever.
Good point.
You know, it's about time we had a morning show.
Listen, I think this is an enormously important, you know, move for our station. It's the first time since we've been a thing that we've had someone on the air at 7 a.m. locally to give you a feel for what's going on in this city.
Local is key. Local is key. We're not Podunk, Iowa, where you just take the feed.
No,
come on.
No. So, Mark, I ask you at 7 a.m. Monday morning, Cap and Jay Hood. Will they be talking about a game five for the Blackhawks?
I think they'll be talking about a split over the weekend. I can see the Hawks winning one of the two back-to-backs. But you saw them get it together in game two. Corey Crawford looked like he was concussed from the previous game when he got hit in the face. I mean, he got off to
a really good in the third period.
Really bad start and kept them in it the entire third period. Then they were dead tired in that overtime. They just could not keep up. So, you know, and Kane was very positive in the post game, saying, look, We played a lot better. We mixed up the lines. I'm confident. Moving forward, we can tie this series. I don't know about that. I think they can get one over the weekend, but there's no way they win this series.
No way.
No way.
No chance.
The Knights are just too big, too strong, too fast, too talented. And it'll be, if they do win, it'll be because the Knights were up 2-0 and they let their guard down a little bit. That's human nature. To say, yeah, we're up 2-0. We got some breathing room.
Do you think they let down a little bit yesterday in the game, yes, the Knights, and let them back in it? Or was this more about what the Hawks did to make adjustments?
I think it was a combination. Again, look at the Hawks don't have very good D pairings anymore. Right. And it's all about Corey. And I just think that
there's only so much he can do.
The Hawks were much better in the neutral zone, and Vegas couldn't get set up to just, you know, blow their doors off coming in like that. So I just don't think physically, stamina-wise, they can stay with them. You know, they had five games on today. I'm in heaven. I mean, get up.
There's one right now.
Watching Blues in Vancouver right now.
So it's fantastic. But
how's the, like, we have been very positively, I think we've all been positive about, surprise maybe is the word for it, how the level of play has been with the NBA, and they're yet to get to the postseason series yet. That'll start on Monday. Have you been impressed with the level of play?
Yes, I think it's playoff intensity. I really do.
Saw some fights today as well.
They're fighting. They're taking pucks to the face. They're jumping in front of shots. Tuukka Rask, the goaltender for the Bruins, he had weird, curious comments in the postgame after they had lost, saying, it's not a playoff atmosphere. I'm just out there having fun. It's just not really like the playoffs.
Is that what he said because of the fans?
Yeah, but after they qualified, he said, yeah, okay, now it really starts. It's the real playoffs. So make up your mind. I don't know what he was saying. It made no sense at all. You ask any other players. Plus, how about his Bruins teammates going, really? You're not taking this seriously? Well, we are, and we're trying to help you in front of you. So I don't know if there's going to be a conversation with him in the Boston dressing room, but I think everybody else is playing at a very intense playoff level. Yeah. It is thoroughly entertaining. I don't miss the fans at all. You can hear the puck.
I've become, you know, numb to the fact that they're not there.
Just watching sports.
Exactly. Speaking of players holding other players accountable, did you see what the Indians did today? They optioned both Zach Plesac and Clevinger to the minor league camp.
Hey, when you got veterans calling you out and saying you have to prove yourself to them all over again, that sends a real message. Absolutely.
What Zach Plesac, who is a tremendous talent, sent out on social media was so tone deaf.
When he was in his car?
Yeah, that was the stupidest thing
in the world. Why? He said, when he started, it sounded like he started off saying, hey, I was pretty emotional. I thought he was going to...
He was gearing up for an apology?
Yeah, he was going to dial it back. And then at the end he goes, I still mean what I said. What? You're an idiot.
Oh, yeah. And my whole thing was he's driving around and filming himself, which if you know anything, he's not looking at the camera, but he's still... Mm-hmm. I don't know if he had it on... It didn't look like he had it on a stand, but he's driving and he's holding it. And then also he's driving, he's got no seatbelt on.
Why not just pull into a gas station
and just sit there and film it?
And sit there and film it instead of driving around.
No mask, no seatbelt.
He doesn't need a mask inside his own
car. No phone cup.
Yeah, you don't need. Yeah, you don't need.
Maybe he had the little phone cup.
You don't want to be that guy driving around in your own car with a mask on.
The baseball show is coming up right after we are done here. Let's bring in one Fred Huebner. Fred, how's it going?
I think one of those gold chains around his neck was actually also was a seatbelt. I don't know if you noticed that.
Hey, the chains have worked for Anthony Rizzo.
Yes, they have. Two chains.
Yes.
And you can also get that on a shirt, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, from Obvious Shirts. The same place you can get your Sylvie Strong shirts. You can get the Tony Two Chain shirts. I don't think I've ever heard you say Two Chains, and I hope you know that it's a rapper. Like, I hope you know that that's a guy. Okay.
I know it's a rapper.
Hey, okay. Come on, leave Fred alone. He's more of a curmudgeon than I am.
I know. I just want to hear Fred yell Two Chains.
I have been listening, and what is this basketball and hockey you speak of? I thought you guys were breaking down the 8-2 Bayern Munich win over Barcelona.
How about that? Okay. And then Barcelona fired their coach afterwards, huh?
Hey, look, I'm sorry. I appreciate the athleticism and the cardio and the skill and everything else, but soccer, please, no.
It was 8-2.
You know what,
Fred?
Just do me this favor. You know, the MLS is expanding to like 90 teams now, okay?
Yeah, I know.
And I get it, but could we please have some sports nicknames? Every team is just The City United FC.
That's soccer.
It's lame.
That's what soccer does.
It's awful.
Football club. Cincinnati FC. Cincinnati Football
Sporting Club. United
brand
FC.
New one.
Yeah, because nothing says hockey like the Seattle Kraken.
Well, yeah. Hey, look, don't start with me.
I'm just telling you. I'm just saying.
Hockey finally got it all right. Soccer, there are no ties in any sporting event. Why are you playing?
You don't play to tie.
There should be ties.
No.
Hockey was great when there were ties. My first game ever.
No, it wasn't. They finally Hawks got it right Rangers. About 20 years ago.
Hawks and Rangers at the stadium.
No.
2-2 tie, and then I went the home run in at 30.
No, uh-uh. Fred, I just want to know what kind of beer you're drinking
you
right now.
You two are like the guys, the Muppets in the balcony right now.
Yes, they are.
Well, Statler and what was the other one? Hilton and Statler. Statler and...
Waldorf?
Waldorf. No. Fred. They were hotels, for sure.
Yeah, no, I'm
you know,
not
Fred, there it is. Let's do a show. Yeah, good. Yeah.
Okay, well, you can't say that.
Yeah, you whippersnapper.
You can't go GD.
Back when I was watching hockey in black and white.
It can be the two of us until the old-time baseball guy takes over the baseball show on Monday along with Black and Abdallah.
No, we're going to be talking hurlers and
why don't we just get a poker table with a lamp and smoke cigars and just bring back the sports writers?
I'm shocked that it hasn't been back because it was good TV.
Fred, you have created a cure for which there is no disease. Ben Bentley, 1986.
He's the best.
Yeah, it was.
Joe Mushel. Oh, was there anything better than Joe Mushel?
Oh,
come on.
Joe Mushel.
Oh,
Joe Musso should have been in every Godfather movie.
What do you got on the show tonight? Yeah, what's coming up on the baseball show?
Oh, you got a
Fred?
Show?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we just brought him on because he called in. Let's go to Fred in the suburbs on line one.
I don't have one show. I've got two shows. I've got the baseball show. We're going to talk to Jesse around 6:15 because it seems like every 10 minutes there's more breaking news I'm hearing from you guys about the Cubs out of Wrigley Field. One guy's hurt. Another guy's hurt. That's what happened when Chris Bryant plays the outfield. He makes a catch and dives and hurts his wrist and his ring finger, so he can't play for a while. But, you know, I'm sorry, David Ross can do no wrong. That's what I heard. Managers are important.
Oh, wow. I'm already.
And
Take the heat like Joe did, you know?
No,
let me ask you a question, Freddie.
Theo waits till they leave, and then he calls him out.
Freddie, do you buy my theory that there are certain players that are thriving because there are no fans in the stands and there's less stimulus out there? I think that Chatwood is one of those guys. I know he got rocked by the Royals. But
I think Darvish is, too.
I think Darvish and Chatwood are two guys. Now, Darvish proved that he could do.
Darvish had one of the best second, has had the best second half in baseball.
That is true, but.
Yeah, but he's pitched very well this year for the most part.
No doubt.
Yeah.
If those cardboard cutouts start yelling at him and booing him, he's going to freak out.
No, but they are actually taking this seriously, and I think the Cubs have the right approach. So we'll talk to Jesse at 6:15. We'll talk about the White Sox. Tim Anderson wants to stay the leadoff guy. We'll also talk more about Plesac and Clevenger. Then, after the Odds Couple at 7 o'clock, I'm back.
Wow.
And I'm glad Jay Williams doesn't start with us till Monday. Does that mean I can call him out for his silly comments later on tonight?
You can call him out after Monday, too.
Yeah. Oh, my God. What is he talking about? I'm sorry if the poor NBA players are so sad that they couldn't do suicides. Oh, what a shame. Oh, I can't play for this guy. He's making me run. Oh, my God.
But they can run a girlfriend down the hallway in the hotel.
All right.
Well, between them and the Seahawks guy, yeah. Mm-hmm. Why not?
All right, Fred. We'll hear from you in about two minutes here coming up. It is now time for the Screwball sign-up. It's Friday. It's that time of the weekend. And caller 20 right now will win a $200 gift card. Whoa. Not a $100 gift card, but
$100
gift card to the Greystone Tavern in Wrigleyville, courtesy of our friends at Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. If you have some Screwball, your weekend is sure to be a little nutty. So caller 20 right now at 312-332-3776. You will get that $200 gift card. Thank you for your dog peanut butter. Thank you for Tyler for producing the show.
You better get out soon.
Thank you to Mark Janowski. For joining us. Thank you to Mark G and Greco. And thank you to Tom Waddle for putting up with me for 4 hours.
Great to have you.
7 a.m. on Monday, a new era begins at ESPN Chicago with Cap and Jay Hood as the new morning show here on ESPN 1000. Make sure you tune in right at 7 o'clock. And make sure you tune in for Fred Huebner in the baseball show in just 2 minutes. Have a good weekend, everybody.
That was a big thrill.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfour.
Who's getting wild tonight? what I'm talking about, baby.
No high from you.
What?
No high from you.
I give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away.